Shalom, אנחנו בשיעור בנושא העבודה
ואמונה. Today's lesson will be on the subject of the work of faith above reason. We'll be reading excerpts from the sources and we'll continue with excerpt 39. You can find all of our texts on kabbalahmedia.info and you can send us questions live during the lesson on kab.tv.
The transition from feeling ourselves in the present reality called this world to the upper reality called the next world, this is considered transitioning, shifting from reason to faith above reason, from reception to bestowal. There are many words for it. They do not help a person much if he's not in it. Nevertheless, he doesn't know quite what this is about. It's like, go and explain to a deaf person that there is the matter of sounds and music and noises and all of this. You can't really. This is why we have to realize that here there is the matter of exercises, that through the exercises we can awaken the reforming light. And it brings us this force, the force of bestowal. Then we gradually begin to think about how can we exist in this force of bestowal instead of in the force of reception. It's possible. When we begin with efforts to be together, that is, to annul the will to receive, the personal one, and somehow shift to some extent to the collective will to receive, then by that we begin to feel, bit by bit, how our foundations change within us. And this is how we reach faith above reason. That is the spiritual method of feeling and understanding, diagnosing, deciding and performing actions that are not within the will to receive. That's where they start and end, but rather only above it. That is, in spirituality. So, let us read a few verses. Later on we'll come back. I mean, we're not starting from the beginning of this compilation of excerpts. Later on we'll come back to the beginning if necessary. So let's start with 39.
So we are reading from a compilation of excerpts on the subject of the work of faith above reason. We'll start with 39 from the Rabash. The article is, "The Creator is meticulous with the righteous."
It seems to me that these four or five excerpts from 39 onward are important and they're close to the perception of what does it mean, faith above reason. How do we come close to it? What does it mean to live in it? That is, to rise to spirituality. Please.
Excerpt 39 from Abash, Volume 3, "The Creator is meticulous with the righteous." The blow that one receives from the Creator, when the Creator takes from him the flavor of the work, by this, the Creator heals him, because then he has no other way to serve the Creator but with faith above reason. It follows that the blow that he received from the Creator, from this itself he can be healed, for otherwise he will remain in separation. By this we understand what our sages said, that by the blows of the Creator he heals. In other words, this is the healing. The Creator gives one room to work with faith without any support. Also, we should understand what our sages said, The Creator makes a decree and the righteous revoke it. This means that the Creator makes a decree taking from one the pleasure of the work, and there is no harsher decree than taking from someone the vitality in the work. But the righteous revokes it. That is, if a person says that he wants to work without any reward of vitality and pleasure, then the decree is revoked by default. Moreover, now he rises to a higher degree, for now he is in a state of pure faith and is regarded as having no self-interest.
Again,
the blow that one receives from the Creator, when the Creator takes from him the flavor of the work, by this itself the Creator heals him. Because then he has no other way to serve the Creator but with faith above reason. It follows that the blow that he received from the Creator, by this itself he can be healed, for otherwise he will remain in separation. By this we understand what our sages said, that by the blows of the Creator he heals. In other words, this is the healing, that the Creator gives one room to work with faith without any support. Also, we should understand what our sages said. The Creator makes a decree, and a righteous one revokes it. This means that the Creator makes a decree, taking from him the pleasure of the work, and there is no harsher decree than taking from someone the vitality in the work. But the righteous revokes it. That is, if a person says that he wants to work without any reward of vitality and pleasure, then the decree is revoked by default. Moreover, now he rises to a higher degree, for now he is in a state of pure faith and is regarded as having no self-interest.
We are not pleased, not satisfied. We get angry at fate, at the Creator, at the wisdom of Kabbalah, at the teacher, at everything. If we lose the taste, and we don't understand that specifically by the fact that the taste is lost from the study, from a work in the group, with anything, this is actually an invitation to rise to the spiritual degree in which we need to try to work not according to the beastly, corporeal, egoistic flavors, but according to the fact that by that we want to bring contentment to the Creator. And bit by bit, we get used to that form, step by step. Most important is to, first of all, be aware that the flavor that is lost, the mood, it comes from above, from the Creator, deliberately and personally to one, because the Creator wants to disconnect him from his will to receive in order to receive and give him some freedom from the pleasures of in order to receive. And the person can try and feel himself how he can be independent of the in order to receive, how he can be seemingly hanging between the heavens and the earth. There is no pleasure to the will to receive, there's no power to move himself, there's no reason to move himself. Life do not shine with all kinds of fulfillments. This is actually great help from the Creator, who is disconnecting the person from in order to receive from this whole world. And then what remains is an opportunity to start performing actions that are as if without any fuel, without a goal that shines, but rather specifically to make up for himself the greatness of the Creator instead of all of those, and for that purpose to perform actions, to come to the lessons, to participate in all kinds of things, and to live in general. If a person tries to replace the previous pleasures that shine to him somehow with an egoistic hope to achieve with the present state, where he starts to understand that I don't want to depict, to portray a future for myself. I don't want to portray to myself some kinds of pleasures or payments. I only want each and every moment to be adhered to the Creator, and out of that feeling that now I'm doing something for Him, I get fuel and I live at that moment. The next moment, again I will have to make an effort. And this is how it is each moment, more and more, and in that way I will advance. Advance in what? That the Creator will help me by disconnecting me, truly pulling me off from my will to receive. And I, instead of that, will find fuel in being able then, in that state where I'm disconnected from the will to receive, being able to do it in order to bestow contentment to Him. That's it. And for that purpose, I will perform certain actions, I will exist.
So,
those moments, those situations where we feel that the Creator, or even before the Creator, where we feel that we don't have the strength to live, to exist, to perform certain actions, where we feel that the world has become black or gray, without any hope, without any fulfillment, the Creator, by that, is doing us a great favor. He is disconnecting us from this reality, from this world. And He's giving us a chance for us to do it for Him. If He would not disconnect us from the pleasures of this world, from all kinds of fulfillments, we would never have the possibility to reach the spiritual degree. We would be under the control of Pharaoh, who is always paying and paying and paying us, and we cannot get out of doing things in order for Him to give us, in order for Him to give us. This is actually our life within the ego. So, disconnection from the ego, when a person feels darkness, helplessness, there's nothing to do, truly losing himself, this is actually the states that can be as a transition from within reason, inside of the ego, to above reason, to the degree of bestowal. When I decide that I am doing everything for the sake of heaven, that I'm doing everything in order to bestow, to give contentment to the Creator, disconnecting myself from this. And that's how we advance. Again and again and again. Exercises, exercises, exercises. This is what the Creator is doing. And to be grateful to the Creator for doing it, to be happy that finally we are in a process where we are rising above this world to the spiritual world, and we're truly in transition. We want to intensify these actions, both according to the pace and also according to the intensity of each action, so that each action will be as a leap forward. And it is all according to how much we connect into the environment, into the ten. Let's read it again.
Excerpt 39 from Abash, the Creator is meticulous with the righteous. The blow that one receives from the Creator, when the Creator takes from him the flavor of the work, by this itself the Creator heals him, because then he has no other way to serve the Creator but with faith above reason. It follows that the blow that he received from the Creator, by this itself he can be healed, for otherwise he will remain in separation. By this we understand what our sages said, that by the blows of the Creator he heals. In other words, this is the healing. The Creator gives him room to work with faith without any support. Also, we should understand what our sages said. The Creator makes a decree, and a righteous one revokes it. This means that the Creator makes a decree, taking from him the pleasure of the work. And there is no harsher decree than taking from someone the vitality in the work. But the righteous one revokes it. That is, if a person says that he wants to work without any reward of vitality and pleasure, then the decree is revoked by default. Moreover, now he rises to a higher degree. For now he is in a state of pure faith and is regarded as having no self-interest.
Without pleasure, it's impossible to live. We exist in the will to receive. And it is our foundation, and it doesn't go away. We cannot leave it, and it does not leave us. Rather, what it says here, that without to work without pleasure means without calculation for oneself. When I do not turn to my body, I do not turn to my desire. I only turn to my ability to bestow to the Creator. I seemingly rise above myself. And as much as I can fill him up, the Creator, this is what I live from. These are my kelim. For my heart, for our hearts will rejoice in him. In that way, we transition from the ego, from my will to receive, to the will to bestow. And my will to bestow exists in the Creator. Any questions? Okay, so it's clear. Or not. If not, go ahead and ask. Yes?
How does that source taking from me my vitality, how can it be the source to which I want to bestow, give my work to?
The light arranges a way for you. The light by that arranges for you a different goal. It helps you. What do you mean? I don't know how to say this. You were an athlete. You used to make exercises from morning to evening, thinking all the time about how will you do it and how will you reach some award, some prize. And before that, you didn't care about the prize. Before that, you cared about having fun, having a good time. The moment you switched to a different direction, a different goal, the problem was not about filling up your belly, let's say, but rather filling up your passion for honor. And this is, you know, what we replace. The Creator takes away the pleasures from our general will to receive, in which we live, in a framework of this world. And then I have nothing to live for. Everyone is familiar with that state. The world becomes dark. There is nothing to live for. There's nothing in it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to see it. I don't want anything. What do we do next? Yes? So, we don't understand it, but this is what is happening, that the Creator by that wants to compel us to turn to other tracks. So, you will not be thinking about yourself, because you should not think about yourself now. I helped you. The more you think about yourself, it will bring you nothing. You cannot fill yourself up with anything. So think about how you actually enjoy the fact that you are elevating me. Think about him and the way you fill him up, and that this gives you pleasure, fulfillment, everything. Think about that. Then you will see that it is a different kind of life. It's a kind of a different life. And then each time, by all kinds of situations, tough situations, well, a little bit tough, here and there, lack of pleasure, you will see how the Creator is aiming you to Him. Think about me, and that's it. And you will have pleasure. Think about me, and you will have pleasure. As we study in Enod Milvado, there is none else besides Him, good who does good, meaning that there is hope, there is someone, something in life who is organizing and sustaining my life. It's not that I'm in some kind of space and I have nothing. That way, bit by bit, from Lolishma, we come to Lishma. But the fact that I think in all kinds of tough situations that the Creator exists, it's like all of the people, but bit by bit I come to that state where I don't care about my situation, but rather if I think about Him, I'm saved. Saved of what? Of despair, of all kinds of blows and troubles. I think of Him. It's kind of a trick. A virtue. It doesn't matter if I feel bad, if I think about Him, I disconnect from myself. It's like a trick. And then I adhere to Him. Of course, it is still in order to receive all of those things, but nevertheless, it works. And this is already the first stage towards Lishma, above reason. Is that clear? Yes?
Natural repulsion is, it develops towards the Creator who takes from me the pleasures.
Oh, that's just in the beginning. It's like a little child, and he cries. He doesn't want that this will be taken away from him. He doesn't realize that, in the other hand, he's given something more important. He still doesn't want to disconnect from whatever he had and was taken from him. Yeah?
So how to see these two hands of the Creator, the one that takes and the one that wants to give?
Sure, that's why you begin to be connected with Him. You start to realize, and it's gradually, through such unpleasant actions, but you begin to understand that he is doing these exercises with you in order for you to finally realize what kind of toy he is giving you instead of what you had. And then you begin to appreciate him, respect him, love him, and be connected with him. He is replacing for you your approach to life. Okay. Yes,
and what is the new toy that one receives?
The new toy that one gets is called faith instead of reception. Above reason instead of within reason. Different kelim, the kelim of Bina instead of the kelim of Malchut.
And how are those manifested?
By the fact that I'm happy, first of all, for receiving a blow, meaning that the Creator took away from me corporeal, bodily pleasure, and by that He gave me an opportunity to connect above it, so that I now want to be adhered with the Creator instead of being adhered to myself. I truly feel that way, that I'm peeling myself off from myself, disconnecting, and I want to enter and be included in Him. That's on the way to becoming Ubal, embryo.
At what stage does gratitude to the Creator come?
At what stage? The moment that a person begins to realize what the Creator is doing with him, he starts being grateful. Obviously, then he understands what does it mean, faith above reason, that reason was his earlier style of connection to life, to himself. And now when he is not attached to life and to himself, but rather to the Creator, it is considered that he is in faith above reason. But now, what leads him in life is adhesion. And the fact that the Creator is disconnecting him from the pleasures, it is actually help. And he is grateful for it. And these are stages of katnut, infancy. This is how he gets help, so that he can attach to the Creator, because the previous pleasures disappear. And later on, the Creator brings back the pleasures, but different pleasures, greater ones. And you have to be adhered to the Creator in spite of the pleasures that pull you in other directions. That is already a different kind of work. Work in Gadlut, in adulthood.
In the previous kind of work, where do the friends enter into this picture?
Constantly supporting. You start to appreciate the friends by losing flavors in your life, but along with that, you start to feel that your salvation is to run to the Creator. Along with that inclination, you start to understand that to run to the Creator, that happens through inclusion in the Ten. This is how it becomes stabilized. Okay? Yes?
Rav, I wrote down what you said before. You wrote to invent to oneself or produce to oneself the greatness of the Creator during the time of darkness. What does that mean?
when you have nothing, and suddenly you feel that there is something to live for, if not to receive from one for myself, I will belong to the Creator, and I will give Him. Well, at first it's not give Him. At first, it's good for me to think about Him. As we begin from En Od Milvado, there is none else besides Him. This concept that there is none else besides Him. He saves me. He helps me. He sweetens my life. I have hope. I have justification. There is someone who is managing everything. Yes.
But following that, you also said to replace the pleasures he had before, and now I don't want to depict any pleasures in my future. So what does it mean to produce the greatness of the Creator without envisioning some greatness and the pleasures?
If I'm connected to a great one, if I'm attached to him, for me this is pleasure already. Salvation, confidence, there is something to live for. Imagine this to yourself. If there wouldn't be a creator, it would still be a good idea to invent him. Because what does a person have in life? He needs some justification for his existence. This is why we are drawn in such a way. There is none else besides him. Good who does good, great. It already gives me some anchor in life.
So if I understand correctly, our goal is that when the darkness comes, we need to make a habit and become accustomed to working out of the darkness, right in the darkness, to make it a habit.
You don't pay attention to the darkness as darkness, but rather as a reason that helps you to turn to the Creator. Because without it, without the darkness, you would not turn to Him. The will to receive is satisfied with whatever it has, but only on the condition that it feels some lack of fulfillment. It searches for what can fill me up. Then, bit by bit, it starts to feel that the fulfillment can be by ascribing myself to a great one, to the Creator. That's it.
There's an experiment with hamsters, or I don't recall what animal exactly, in a lab. You give the animal two water fountains. If it drinks from one, it receives an electric shock, and from the other water fountain, it doesn't. And of course, after a few times, you can see that the hamster doesn't go to the shock, but rather automatically goes to that the good one. So it's a kind of, do we sort of train ourselves so that when darkness comes, we see it as an opportunity for freedom? And
yeah, well, that animal has a will to receive, and we also have a will to receive. So,
but we do it with the purpose of bestowing contentment and all these things, which we can do specifically from the darkness.
Well, that's later. Contentment, that's still ahead. Don't fantasize.
So for the time being, we're habituating ourselves to work towards connection, towards the Creator, to produce the greatness of the Creator out of darkness.
Let's do this. For the time being, our goal is, instead of turning to our own will to receive, to realize that you can turn to the Creator. And it's also in our will to receive. Also by, you know, running away from troubles. He writes about it. That in the tough moments. Okay? Okay, Vlad?
In these situations, those moments, the Creator takes not only the corporeal pleasures, but also the spiritual pleasures. One remains with nothing. He's not connected to the Creator, he has no flavor.
So what?
So how does he reattach to the Creator when he's completely in the...
What is there between him and the Creator? Nothing.
Nothing. In those states, nothing.
If it's nothing, then he has nothing.
So how does he attach?
he does not. This is why the Creator puts man's hand on the good fortune and he says, take it. He brings him to a place where there is a ten. And it forms some kind of a model, some kind of a picture towards which a person can annul and express his devotion and connection, and through them he can start receiving the reforming light. Without engaging in a ten mechanically, truly. Why? Because I was told I have no choice. If I want to advance towards spirituality, I have no choice. I have to be in a ten. Okay, so I come, and every time I come, I'm included, I sit with them, thanks God it's over, I can go, and bit by bit, the light nevertheless works on him. You have no chance to do it any other way. Yes?
So when a person is in such a state, he should understand that the path to the Creator goes through the ten, right? That's the path.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter what I feel, where I am, that's life.
Yes. Or through great suffering that disconnect him. That's how it used to be. Eat bread with salt. Well, from the fact that, as it's written in the introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, that we have entered a stage where suffering, eat bread with salt, drink a little water, etc., through blows have been replaced by the Torah, we are now, we were given the possibility through the connection between us to be connected with the reforming light. Before that, it was only through work against our will to receive directly, that is, giving it blows through our life, giving blows to the will to receive itself. Imagine what blows you are capable of giving yourselves. Well, let's start with just eat bread with salt, okay? So everybody now go out of this nice building to the park. There's nice rain there now. And there you start sitting down for the rest of your life. Build yourself tent, let's say a tent, take your family there, and start living. That's it. I mean, what do you need? Really, nothing. Just some bread, a little bit of salt, and then water. Well, water you get from above. So just take, you know, you'll get a slice of bread somehow. So we have to realize that the work is the same work of replacing a will to receive to be in order to bestow to the degree of Bina. However, the style of work is different. Okay, well, number 40.
Excerpt 40 from Abash, volume 2. What does it mean that one should bear a son and a daughter in the work? The work above reason should be unconditional surrender. One should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. A person should say, I want to be a servant of the Creator, even though I have no idea about the work and I feel no flavor in the work. Nevertheless, I am willing to work with all my might as though I have attainment and feeling and flavor in the work, and I am willing to work unconditionally. At that time, a person can go forward, and then there is no place for him to fall from his state, since he takes upon himself to work even when he is placed right in the earth, since it is impossible to be lower than the earth, lower than the ground. This is, as it is written, a generation goes and a generation comes, and the earth forever stands. Again, the work above reason should be unconditional surrender. That is, one should take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven above reason. A person should say, I want to be a servant of the Creator, even though I have no idea about the work and I feel no flavor in the work. Nevertheless, I am willing to work with all my might as though I have attainment and feeling and flavor in the work, and I am willing to work unconditionally. At that time, a person can go forward, and then there is no place for him to fall from his state, since he takes upon himself to work even when he is placed right in the ground, since it is impossible to be lower than the ground. This is, as it is written, a generation goes and a generation comes, and the earth forever stands.
Any questions?
Ken.
Yes?
In the last excerpt we read, well, I wrote down that the Creator takes my pleasures. I love going to restaurants so much, sitting down, having a good time. He's taking it, I don't find any flavor in it, and now I need to reach a state of unconditional surrender. I have no idea why everyone remains seated here. Why aren't they running out? I mean, everything that we love is taken from us, and we need to enjoy this.
Yes, so what?
I don't know, so how to do this?
What do you mean, how to do it? The Creator does it. What do I need to do? The fact that you're sitting here and you're not in a restaurant, He does it. Rather, you have to take a step forward. You now have to ask of Him, how can I be adhered to you instead of being adhered to the restaurant?
But I don't see anything tasty in this. I don't see any pleasure.
Well, a few more blows and you'll see that it is tasty. You need to appreciate it. It's possible to appreciate it only through the reforming light and the ten. So you'll work a little bit more and you'll get something.
Yochai,
what's with you? They put you there in the corner.
Teacher, now Vlad said that he's poor, he has nothing, and all those complaints. Why didn't you tell him to be happy? It's the Creator giving him this situation.
Right?
So why didn't you tell him to be happy?
What if I tell him that he should be happy?
His approach to the situation needs to change. That's the whole correction.
Well, it's like me taking a belt, you know, knocking him and telling him each time, how come you're not happy? How come you're not happy? Why don't you kiss the hand that is striking you, right?
Exactly, because they disregard it, then you see how difficult the work is. If you had happiness, you would agree to sit here with everything that the Creator does. That's the hardest work.
So what's happening? Are you asking about them or about yourself?
No, I'm asking, why aren't you talking about this?
This is what we are talking about.
You told him to run to the 10. So, most chance he doesn't do it, and even if something happens...
But he has no choice. Without the 10, he will not be connected with the Creator. It would be a lie. If he would just cry out to the Creator directly, nothing will change. Because he will cry to the Creator out of his ego. If he will be included in the 10, then a little bit, nevertheless, of surrender will be there. see what is the whole issue of the ten. I come there, I'm included there, I nevertheless take them into consideration somehow, whatever I can. And then something out of my cries reaches the Creator. But if I'm without a ten, then none of my cry rises to Him.
Do we have different definitions of the ten? Because I don't see the ten as just taking a phone and calling someone them.
So then you need to build it. You have to build the ten. There's nothing that you can do. The Creator has arranged it for you, and all the rest is upon you.
Teacher, when you say to turn to the ten, what does it mean?
That you build a group where you are together, one heart, one mouth, one mind, and you want to reach a state where with one such inclination in heart and mind, you are turning to the Creator.
And this is something that cannot happen in corporeality, right? It cannot happen, like you said. No way it happens in corporeality.
That's on purpose. On purpose it cannot happen. That's what you think. The Creator does it on purpose so that you will have greater pressure in this, more than the ordinary, that will truly be suitable for the spiritual degree, that nevertheless you will want to connect and turn to the Creator. But you can't. Then you cry out to Him. And you say, please connect us already. We want to turn to you. Right?
Exactly, that's what I talked about. If a state comes where he's empty, why isn't he happy to hear these things?
Well, you know, he's doing everything. I mean, you should complain only to yourself, and everything will work out. Everything will work out. Besides that, you should see in this how much the Creator prepared everything for you. He even prepared a 10 for you. And there's nothing in the 10 that you have to correct, only your attitude to the 10. Suddenly, you'll see the 10, that it is completely, beautifully organized, and it is all according to your kelim. But your complaints, okay. For now, your complaints are all just. Anyone who is disqualifying through his own flaws.
Is there a confusion in the definitions?
Yeah, there is great confusion, but it's all within the person.
With regards to the definitions of a person towards...
Well, with respect to the group, with respect to the Creator, yes.
So, a change in those.
The change is in the person, not in the definitions. These definitions will change by the person's understanding. We get the definitions from the texts. See what it says in the text, and really, you need to change. Okay? Nice. I don't know how much you understand or feel, but at least you want to hear. So, 41. Excerpt from Rabban from Rabash. What does it mean that one should bear a son and a daughter in the work? If one decides that he wants to work as dust, meaning even if he tastes the taste of dust in the work, he says that it is very important to him to be able to do something for the sake of the Creator. And for himself, he does not care what tastes he feels. And he says that this work, in which one tastes the taste of dust, meaning that the body mocks this work, he says to the body that, in his view, this work is regarded as raising the Shekhinah, divinity, from the dust. In other words, although the body tastes dust in the work, the person says that it is Kedusha, and does not measure how much flavor he feels in the work. Rather, he believes that the Creator does enjoy this work, since there is no mixture of the will to receive here, since he has nothing to receive, because there are no flavor or scent in this work, as there is only the taste of dust here. For this reason, he believes that this is the holy work, and he is delighted. Again. If one decides that he wants to work as dust, meaning even if he tastes the taste of dust in the work, he says that it is very important for him to be able to do something for the sake of the Creator. And for himself, he does not care which taste he feels. And he says that this work, in which one tastes the taste of dust, meaning that the body mocks this work, he says to the body that in his view, this work is regarded as raising the Shekhinah from the dust. In other words, although the body tastes dust in this work, the person says that it is Kedusha and does not measure how much flavor he feels in the work. Rather, he believes that the Creator does enjoy this work, since there is no mixture of the will to receive here, since he has nothing to receive, because there are no flavor or scent in this work, as there is only the taste of dust here. For this reason, he believes that this is holy work, and he is delighted.
Sadna. Workshop. How can we describe our lives when we have no pleasure in our will to receive, only dust, that's the only thing we taste? So imagine to yourselves that your mouths are full of dust. You know what dust is, doctor? Great. So your mouth is full of dust, and that's how your whole life is in general. And from that dust, you actually thank the Creator for filling your brain and heart and mouth with dust, that you have nothing except for that. And above that, you can then turn to the Creator and to live in Him, because in Him, our hearts will be glad. Please, help each other describe this. You've gotten to states where you need to begin doing this. There's no choice. Go on.
Yes, what we talked about in the lesson, this actually turns out to be the best situation in life, when you have no pleasures, you don't owe the will to receive anything, the Creator disconnected if you've made, but then a person can truly tie himself to the Creator.
Yes, describing it very simply, the general populace lives that way. They attach to something great, they imagine to themselves that there's a Creator, that's fun, it's good to attach to Him, to adhere to Him. It's very pleasant, it's very good.
Actually, it's a very beautiful place where a person is born, when he can finally act on his own behalf and not that he's completely moved by all kinds of forces that move him each and every second. It's actually a sign for him, for elation, for a sign for self-movement, a sign that he's getting some connection with the outside, with what is happening around him, not only what moves him from within. It's a very happy place of new life.
We must feel vitality. And the moment we do not feel lifeless vitality from corporeality, and on the other hand, we also work in the group, work in the spiritual environment, we come to feel that there, sometimes you do feel a taste of spirituality, or we're told of the flavor of spirituality, and so we have to pray with regards to that, to turn to the Creator, and there we will feel the flavors. We have this opportunity to turn to Him when we feel that taste of ash, of dust.
The ability to relate to the Creator is only tied to the degree of connection between us in the 10, then the end of the thread comes, that this whole state of dust truly comes from there is none else besides Him, as a direct invitation from the Creator to me to integrate even more, to subjugate myself,
to immerse in the ten and reach a connection with him.
Yes, there's not much to imagine. This is the practice of it. We're full of dust, ash, it's poured into our throats. And it's very clear that only by annulling oneself towards the ten, a person can hold on for another moment and another. My only question is about happiness. Many times in the ten we had some scrutiny on this, about this. There is a state where a person goes for that dust, he annuls himself, and he feels pleasure, like we talked about in the general populace, where it shines through the gaps and there's salvation there. And there's times when it's the opposite. A person says that the dust came from him, and so he is in double darkness because he thinks he did it and the Creator did. So, and then he's just thrown outside. So you can go like the general populace and causes you relief, or you can go through that double suffering where it's the Creator humiliating me. And of course, it depends on how one is beholden to his ego, but it's not clear how this works.
If we enlist together, helping the Creator and getting more and more into that narrow place in the tent, to be with him, with the Creator, with that, in that state before birth, you know, labor pains together, maybe it will happen a lot faster if we help with the Arvut between us and with the Creator in that direction and not in other directions. Only that.
Yes, disconnection from the will to receive, and that darkness is the space, a gap that's revealed where you find yourself despaired, helpless, powerless, you don't know where to turn to, and suddenly this thought sneaks up to you where this emptiness, you can get out of it. It comes from the Creator. You have the ten, and you can always run to the bottom of the ten, and that's the best comfort above all the will to receive, not receiving any pleasures. There's always an escape. You can go to the friends. Love. Questions? What?
I hear in the passages time and again that there is some issue of decision here. A person decides to raise divinity from the dust, etc. Then seemingly his desire cancels and annuls before the person's decision. What do you take such a decision? Where does that happen in reality? Many times you have a decision that from here on we will surrender and devote ourselves to the friends, to the ten, whatever. But it collides with reality.
It doesn't collide with reality. Each time we have changes in our Rishimot.
Let's say, if we read again the excerpt we read before and also the one before it, Rabash writes that a person decides, and then even if the body opposes it, in the end the body agrees, it surrenders. That decision, how can he make such a decision in the tent? It's clear that a person by himself cannot do it. So what do we do in order for such a decision to happen?
Well, a lack of any alternative. You transition from state to state through lack of choice. That's what we do. More? Continue. Who do we have? New York?
New York.
Здравствуйте, Рав. Здравствуйте, мировой Кли.
Hello, Rav. Hello, World Kli. That state is felt clearly. This work, these blows, when a person loses the flavor in the work, and there are all kinds of disturbances at home, with the family, with work, with health.
Постепенно переходишь. Потом вот это все как-то как бы хочется глотка.
Somehow we go through all of these states, but later
что-то появилось, чуть-чуть вздохнул и опять уже не задыхаешься, а даже нечем дышать. Вот то, что
ты. Well, you take a little bit of a breath of air, and again you have nothing to breathe.
Находимся в одном состоянии. Потом создается ощущение прицепиться к Раву.
After that comes this feeling of, well, we need to adhere to Rav. Sorry, Rav, he's choppy. Maybe he can ask with one sentence.
I'll answer to you. I'll tell you one thing. All these stories are well known to us. You're not telling us anything new. The stories are, well, they repeat every time. Each time a new state is brought to you, and through each and every state you need to attach to the Creator through the ten, where you prefer to attach to the Creator, to be attached to the Creator instead of your own current situation. Either this happens through blows, helplessness, darkness, and so on, or you do this by calculating and deciding on your values. How do you value this life in this world? And how do you value the spiritual life? If you make this calculation, it's called harishena, hastening it. And if this calculation is done for you, it's through blows and punishments and suffering, which is called beito, in its time. We need to try to take those steps before they come to us from above. We need to take them by ourselves from below, which is called raising man. That's how it is. Novosibirsk.
Good morning, dear Rav.
Which action is the transition? Because it is impossible to accept this work. There's some condition or something that, you know, I'm always hoping to receive some result, receiving something, so I didn't really get an answer to with which action do we shift to that. Otherwise it feels like
the Creator empties us out. We feel that we are empty, helplessness, lack of past, present, future, everything is just worthless, and so on. We lose, we feel ourselves to be losing everything in the current state, and then we are ready to grab hold of anything. And so, gradually, it becomes apparent to us that we can grab hold of the Creator. And of course, this is an egoistic alternative, but we have some direction now. After that, we expect to, we can expect to come to all sorts of dark situations only in order to hold on to the Creator. And that's an egoistic state, but still more than before. And we understand that without feeling bad in our egos, we won't think about Him, we won't be directed towards Him. And so gradually through such states, we invoke the reforming light, which affects us because it comes through the ten. And these appeals, these pleas also go through the ten, and the phenomena, the outcomes, rather, we want to feel in the ten as well. And so it happens that me, the ten, and the Creator are all in connection, interaction, which is less and less egoistic. How do I know that it's becoming less egoistic? Because I hinge these things more on the environment and the ten. To begin with, because it's worthwhile to me. And after that, because the ten is like me, it's me, actually. And later, because everything comes from and ultimately returns to the Creator. That's how we work. So, therefore, we have to make an effort to look for the means to be directed towards the Creator every time. And through the ten, that's the safest way.
Good morning, Graf. If you allowed, we have two questions. First is, when Creator cancels my pleasure in physical life and I feel in such empty state, can we say that from this state I should try connect to the center of the ten, or how should I work at this state exactly?
The center of the ten is the safest. and with the Creator together, then it's not that it's the safest. It's, well, you have nothing else you can do. This is the anchor. This is the center of power for the whole of reality. A person who adheres to the center of the Ten and the Creator, hoping he's there, that's the best disposition, the best direction. Latin America.
Rab, la pregunta es, ¿cómo una persona puede?
The question is, how can a person work in bestowal if he's conditioned on his will to receive?
So for the time being, it's called to bestow in order to receive, but it's still a springboard in order by which you reach bestowing in order to bestow, and then even to receive in order to bestow. These are states we go through. France or French.
Is the following feeling, the need that I feel correct? I feel the need to have 5 points written on my wall, from the heaviest to the lightest, like the heaviest to fulfill my commitments and the lightest to pray for the collective, to measure and to know what to do.
Write it right on the wall. It's written right on the walls of your heart. All right? Yes.
Many times in such a state, when the pleasures are taken, what happens is that you fall into sleep. It's kind of an escape mechanism. Sometimes it's the whole tent, sometimes the whole group. How do we guard ourselves specifically in such a state when there is such a great gift that we receive, so that we don't run away from it and kind of disappear, fall asleep?
These states are necessary states. There is no way you can avoid the sleep, the fall, the irritation, all these things. There is no option of doing that. The question is, a person falls into these states, right? Does he have an environment, a group that can help him get out of there quickly through the influence of the environment on the person? We can sense the power of bestowal, the force of bestowal, in how quickly he comes out of each and every such state.
Here I'm talking already about the state where the entire ten or the entire group, sometimes you see it in the lesson, and it's felt that you're trying to somehow ignite us, turn us on, wake us up. Is this a necessary state? Is this how it needs to be? Or should we simply prepare some defensive mechanism in advance?
It needs to be in every ten, such a mechanism. And there even need to be people who are responsible for it. Every day, do everything that you can. But, of course, if we leave everything to the hand of God, then, who knows when it'll happen. Yes? So, what are we studying today? Why did I choose these excerpts? By a person, or when a person feels empty, blocked, distant to the Creator, this is an invitation from the Creator to come close to the Creator and to hinge one's future on the Creator and to want to bestow to the Creator and to look for pleasure in bestowing to the Creator, because by himself he can find no pleasure. So one should look for such an opportunity.
So I'm saying, if a person in such a state gets angry or feels like running away or I don't know what, okay, at least he's alert. But if he falls asleep, and everybody falls asleep, what do we do?
There must be people in charge, responsible, so that even when they fall asleep, they are on duty. Why are you asking me about such things? But so there's nothing you can do. Everyone fell asleep. So you need to prepare for these situations ahead of time, to take care of that. Why are you waving your hands like that? Don't you understand what we do in our regular life? One needs to take out an insurance policy, to have all sorts of systems in place so as not to fall on the society in difficult situations. So you have pension, you have all sorts of systems which help us in a time of need, of weakness. Well,
yes, I know, but what I see is that many times with all of the mechanisms that we have to defend ourselves and everything, I guess we're not prepared.
Correct, we're not prepared enough. A person gathered 1,000 shekels for his pension fund, and now he sees that he has 10 years to continue with that. So how can he do that? We need to make sure that we can come out of each and every fall by ourselves, and that includes also turning to the Creator, of course. But we turn to Him, we awaken Him. It's not possible that everyone in the 10 will be in complete and utter descent, total descent. The Creator doesn't let that happen. He always leaves a person, well, unless it's a punishment, a blow, which... But regularly, there's always an opportunity present for awakening in every state, each and every state. For the individual, no, because he isn't counted, but for the 10, certainly. And don't say that the whole 10 is on the rocks, right? No. If they don't prepare themselves in the proper time for it, then certainly they will come to such states where it's impossible to awaken. And that is for you to learn that you didn't prepare properly. What, Uri?
Heard you say several times that this topic of sleep is also just a matter of importance.
Of course. What, don't you all know this, understand this?
No, I get that, but I also wanted to ask if importance is related to the will to receive.
Whatever is important to the will to receive. This is, it's all in with respect to the will to receive.
So how does it work? I don't get that. Now we're working towards the 10, towards the Creator, and I'm supposed to get rid, and but my importance depends on the will to receive, because for other things I have no desire. Not the 10, not the Creator.
I don't understand that division. The will to receive, that is you. That's you.
Yes.
Right. So now, what are you saying? How do I prepare my will to receive to be impressed by the right things?
No, you said now that the importance is really for the will to receive.
Yes.
On the other hand, I don't know if it's on the other hand, but along with that, we have this topic of the 10, I need to annul before it, and there is a Creator, and we need to have importance for those things, the Creator, the 10.
So, which is more important, my will to receive, or the society, or the Creator?
Right.
Right. So, decide, what do you want from me? It's called Israel, or Raita Kudsha Brichu, are one. If everything is oriented towards bestowal, if not in order to bestow, then it's called, well, a beast.
So what do I do now in my state where currently my will to receive is more important than anything? How do I awake myself up? That doesn't, you know, awaken me. I mean, what's my will to receive today?
You integrate in the 10 and you start from that. If you truly want to awaken, then during the lesson, together with the 10, you engage in all sorts of actions in order to begin to appreciate acts of bestowal, acts of connection. Acts of connection, until you begin to feel how happy I am that I have a 10.
And this happiness also comes from the will to receive.
This happiness comes from the will to receive for the time being, egoistic, but nevertheless from values which have to do with spirituality.
So what? Suddenly a switch happens when the will to receive nevertheless Seemingly we don't see it, but...
It's called from lo-lishma, from not for her sake, to lishma, for her sake, where I use spirituality, so to speak, spirituality, the power of connection, bestowal, the Torah, the reforming light. I use all of those in order to gain egoistic fulfillment in my own will to receive. Bring it to me, I want it. Right? On one hand. And on the other, gradually, through all these actions, as you continue, the light works. It can take many years, but gradually, I begin to change my values. Or more correctly, the light begins to change my values for me. And so, I change. I see things differently, I feel them differently.
This means that if right now, inside the importance of my will to receive, it's the right track. At some point, it's going to change by the light. So I should simply continue in the same way.
Yes, yes. But we need to make sure that I won't be constantly immersed in order to receive.
So how do we do that?
The ten. Only through integrating in the ten. Don't be so smart as to think that you can gain from Kabbalah and everything we have. Don't be so smart. Start understanding that the gains, the profit, comes from giving, from investing. You devote yourself, give yourself over.
So now, when I fall asleep, what should I do? I feel that I'm falling asleep. Let's go with this topic of the importance of the will to receive. What's the action I need to do?
You're all falling asleep because we are going through very, very significant states. And these states, if you want to acquire them, they require heightened importance from us.
Again, to the will to receive.
What?
Increased importance to the will to receive.
Why the importance of the will to receive? I don't.
That's what you said so far. Then I need to think about the importance for my will to receive.
All right, for the will to receive.
So that's what I'm asking about. So what should I think about now?
The importance of the ten and the extent to which through the ten you can receive the reforming light, the force, the power of correction. What importance of the will to receive? You're by default entirely full of the importance of the will to receive.
So I don't get, what is it that I need to do?
You need to, first of all, fix your heart and mind. Asia.
Good morning, Rav. My question is this. Is faith above reason the way of unlocking the complete reality that lies beyond our will to receive, where my kelim are outside of me? Is this called Ein Sof? Thank you.
Ein Sof, infinity, I don't know what that is, and I don't know why it's a concern of yours. Ein Sof. Faith above reason is our attitude towards the spiritual reality, the true reality, the Creator. He created the evil inclination. Above the evil inclination, if we rise there, to the extent that we rise, we can then start entering into contact with him. That's all. Where are we, Dudi?
Quote 42 from Shamari 19, what is the Creator has for the bodies in the work? Sometimes one despises this work of assuming the burden of kingdom of heaven, which is a time of a feeling of darkness. When one sees that no one can save him from the state he is in, but the Creator. Then he takes upon himself the kingdom of heaven above reason, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. One should be glad that now he has something to give the Creator. And the Creator enjoys him having something to give to the Creator. But one does not always have the strength to say that this is beautiful work called adornment. Rather, he despises this work.
This is a harsh condition for one to be able to say that he chooses this work over the work of whiteness. Meaning that when he does not sense a taste of darkness during the work, but then one feels a taste in the work. It means that then he does not have to work with the will to receive, to agree, to take upon himself the kingdom of heaven above reason. If he does overcome himself, and can say that this work is pleasant to him, that now he is observing the mitzvah, commandment of faith above reason, and he accepts this work as beauty and adornment, this is called a joy of mitzvah. Again, sometimes one despises this work of assuming the burden of the kingdom of heaven, which is a time of a feeling of darkness. When one sees that no one can save him from this state he is in, but the Creator, then he takes upon himself the kingdom of heaven above reason, as an ox to the burden and as a donkey to the load. One should be glad that now he has something to give to the Creator. And the Creator enjoys him having something to give to the Creator. But that one does not always have the strength to say that this is beautiful work called adornment. Rather, he despises this work. It is a harsh condition for one to be able to say that he chooses this work over the work of whiteness. Meaning, a state where he does not taste a taste of darkness during the work, but rather then one feels a taste in the work. It means that then he does not have to work with the will to receive, to agree to take upon himself the kingdom of heaven above reason. But if one does overcome himself and can say that this work is pleasant to him, that now he's observing the mitzvah, commandment of faith above reason, and he accepts this work as beauty and adornment, this is called a joy of mitzvah.
When do we feel darkness and when do we feel day in spirituality? Please.
Davro.
Discuss. When do we feel night? When do we feel day? When do we feel night? How does night turn into day? And how does day turn to night?
When do we feel night, when do we feel day in the spiritual work? When a person can be above reason, above his own will to receive, connected to the Creator through the Ten, that's day.
Even if he can't, but he is adhered, he wants to adhere to the Ten, to the Creator, for him, then it is day.
If he connects to the fact that this is coming specifically from the Creator, and this is the best possible form in which he can work, and he accepts it gladly, it actually becomes for him a place for elation, a place for work, where he can actually express his love.
Night is when one feels these disconnections from the Creator, but he feels it's from the Creator. And day is where you have the power, the ability to awaken, to rise, to adhere to the environment, the society.
It turns out that the day is actually that same night, however this time he has the ability to do the work at night with joy.
Night is when one feels himself. Day is when the common power shines from the work in the tent, where one doesn't feel only himself, but something else. How does this flip, right? That's the solution. That's if we could control the purpose, the process. But we need to do it through the complete connection of all of us and to try to generate something that illuminates. Sometimes it succeeds, usually it doesn't.
This is what Kabbalists teach us. They teach us to get used to it and to live in that, that night is the center of the tent. Sorry, the day. That's where the day is. I made a mistake. And the night is where I was before, in my previous life, when I was full of fulfillments of my will to receive.
These are measured relative to, well, reception compared to bestowal, adhesion, if I'm adhered to the Creator and through the tent, through the tent to the Creator, or if I'm adhering to myself.
The day starts from the evening. This is how it starts, from the darkness. And it starts gradually, and a person feels complete darkness in his will to receive. That way he rises from the night with the help of the friends to a time when the sun starts shining.
Ultimately, a person is a vessel of sensation, and if he says he's angry, he doesn't agree, and so on, then it's darkness.
Quote number 43 from Rabash, part 3, the essay, A Land Where You Shall Eat Bread Without Scarcity. One must engage in Torah day and night, and the night and the day should be equal to him, as written in the Zohar. In other words, the state of completeness called day and the state of incompleteness called night should be equal. That is, if his aim is for the sake of the Creator, then he agrees that he wants to bring contentment to his Maker. And if the Creator wants him to remain in the state of incompleteness, he agrees to this as well. His consent is expressed by doing his work as if he were rewarded with wholeness. This is regarded as agreeing when the day and the night are equal to him. But if there is a difference, to the extent of the difference, there is separation. And on that separation, there is a grip to the outer ones. Hence, if a person feels that to him there is a difference, he must pray to the Creator to help him, so there will be not a difference for him, there will not be a difference for him, and then he will be rewarded with wholeness. Again, one must engage in Torah day and night, that the night and the day should be equal to him, as written in the Zohar. In other words, the state of completeness called day and the state of incompleteness called night should be equal. That is, if his aim is for the sake of the Creator, then he agrees that he wants to bring contentment to his Maker. And if the Creator wants him to remain in the state of incompleteness, he agrees to this as well. His consent is expressed by doing his work as if he were rewarded with wholeness. This is regarded as agreeing when the day and the night are equal to him. But if there is a difference, to the extent of the difference, there is separation. And on that separation, there is a grip to the outer ones. Hence, if a person feels that to him there is a difference, he must pray to the Creator to help him so there will not be a difference for him. And then he will be rewarded with wholeness, completeness.
We're switching over to the preface.
Moving to the next part of the lesson, and before that, let's sing together.
אם אתה מקשיב את הפאזל כבר מרכיב והמילים חודרות עמוק בפנים וזה גדל בלב משמחה ומכאב יוצא למסע לא מתעכב קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית עוד מאותם ימי בראשית קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית אם אתה מרגיש מעצמך לתת והניצוץ בך כבר מעוטף נחלים בחזומים של אהבה בעורקים פתאום השחר מתעורר קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית והיא תגדל יפה ואנושית עוד מאותם ימי בראשית קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית קוראים לזה אהבה אמיתית